we no longer live in a world of black and white. Rather, the landscape has become a canvas of muted grays, where good is indistinguishable from evil, and renegades receive a hero's embrace. For nearly a decade, Bret the Hitman Hart was perhaps the most beloved superstar in the World Wrestling Federation. But when a stone-cold killer declared his intention to end Bret's legacy, the Hitman was perceived the villain, the unrelenting antagonist, the fan favorite. Soon anger replaced passion, arrogance supplanted a champion's pride. Bret turned his back on an entire nation and reunited the Hart Foundation to launch a reign of mayhem and destruction. Tonight in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, the paradox continues. Tonight, the prodigal sons return home the heroes, while five mighty superstars on a noble crusade become the villains. Tonight, the rogues are the beloved, the heroes the hated. Tonight, the gray clouds of disarray threaten to unleash a devastating tempest in your house.
Welcome everyone to Canadian Stampede, or is it in your house, Canadian Stampede? It is July 6th, 1997. I'm Cam Manning along with Mr. Billy Body.
Hello.
So this is regarded as one of the best pay-per-views, like, ever for, not like, I don't think the card, but it's the crowd. Even if it's a shit pay-per-view, if the crowd is going fucking insane, then it's pretty different.
I know the matches were good when I actually watched it. I've always thought, about that crowd thing. And mm-hmm. It's synonymous for sort of the building shaking and all this kind of stuff. They're saying the cameras are shaking, this building is shaking.
Yeah.
You can see it. You see it's all happening. But actually, some of the action is pretty decent as well. Just to do some momentary detouring and housekeeping, we had a problem with Blog Talk Radio. The show is not finished, but our relationship with Blog Talk will be at the end of the month because we're getting some very debatable numbers on there. You're being forced to listen through to two adverts before we can get it as a download number. So it's just various complications. It's not easy to upload as well. Therefore, we're not going to be on this platform. Long and short of it is, that's why a few shows have gone missing. But you'll get a bulk of them now to get us back onto the right week at some point. And particularly this pay-per-view was bothering me because I would have liked this to have gone out on time, because if people are following this show, then they would have been looking forward to getting this one at the right time. But if you are following the show, in our defense, let us fucking know that you're following the show. Like, say something.
I got one tweet. Because
there are people listening to it because the numbers are reflective. And the thing is that number of people reflects people that are listening from advert one to the ad to the stupid advert at the end. So if you're listening to that much of it, you are obviously quite into the show. So let yourself be known. We may even mention you on here. So that's just what I wanted to say.
At Real Wrestling is tweet us. So right off the bat, we get Triple H versus Mankind, and this is a count out. This match that starts this. Would you do your money numbers for this too? Because I did.
You did it, or you?
I did. I did.
Oh yeah, I did it.
Okay, what did you think for this?
I need to just bring up the page for 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
as to what I rated what a 2-hour pay-per-view would be at. So if you want to just let me know what you said.
I went for 40. Originally I wrote down 20, and then I crossed it off because they kept going throughout the show. They kept fighting in the back, and mm-hmm. it was like that. So that's what had me give it more, because it didn't just end in the count out and done for the match. It was throughout the entire show, they would cut to them in the back killing each other. So that helped the situation for me, I thought.
So I'm under the assumption that you have did Cold Day in Hell pay-per-view without me, because I haven't marked it, which is Undertaker and Steve Austin in the main event.
We did Cold Day in Hell. We've done them all together, and you know what I believe that show might have been? It might have been the one you were sleeping.
I may not have rated it. I may not have. I may have forgotten to mark it, but because I have a Revenge of Taker. But anyway, regardless, In Your Houses are ranked at $450 face value, because they're 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, I have this because of the extensive amount that it carried on throughout the show. You can almost add $10 a time for that. So I bought it up to I just rounded it up to 50 for me.
So after this,
because you got to think, that's one thing you have to do. You have to think about what this is and when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't go around and think, oh, this is just hardcore matches. There hadn't been a hardcore match yet. You see? So this might have been whoa, this is a sick brawl to them.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I just brought it up slightly. I didn't give too much credence to that, but enough to round it up to 50.
So on here afterwards, they show that there was a parade in Calgary for this pay-per-view. They were having fucking parades to bring back the Hart Foundation.
How long was Bret Hart's queue?
What's that?
How long did they say Bret Hart's queue was? Do you remember?
No. His queue? I don't even understand what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. You don't know what the word queue is. line. His line.
Oh, they said it was over a mile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, we say queue.
Yeah.
And then when we're in rides, you say, oh, my God, how long do you have to queue up for this ride?
Yeah. So here will be the next clip they get. And this is the Hart Foundation in the back doing an interview. And Austin shows up during it.
Well, Brett, I know you guys are extremely excited about your encounter tonight. But, the entire reputation of the Hart Foundation could very well be on the line, because if you guys were to lose on your home turf, it could be devastating.
Let's not even talk stupid. There's going to be, oh, look at this, look at this. Come on, does it take two guys? Is that all it takes? Why don't you come on? You need an excuse.
Vince, this guy's just an excuse. We beat him up back here right now. What's it going to prove? It's going to prove that Steve Austin got jumped 5-on-1. We don't want 5-on-1. We want 5-on-5, and when we get out there, that's where we'll get the job done. All right, Vince, it's crazy back here. Back to you guys at ringside.
So, of course, this is gearing up for the main event tonight, which should have been an even bigger main event, but Shawn Michaels was being a fucking baby. And Brett pulled my fucking hair. And he couldn't fucking do the pay-per-view. Fucking bullshit artist.
Just to say, I want to just say it because we're talking about it off the air. If you want a companion piece to this, then you should watch Wrestling with Shadows. I think this made me want to watch Wrestling with Shadows. I have watched Wrestling with Shadows in the last 2 weeks because I got quite far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in New York... because some days Nick would go to work, and I watched Wrestling with Shadows instead so that I didn't fucking end up at SummerSlam by June. So I watched wrestling. I stopped, and after this pay-per-view I watched Wrestling with Shadows, which is a good thing to do, because it does a lot of the stuff on this pay-per-view features on that show.
Taka Michinoku versus the great Sasuke, and this was the whole debut of Sasuke. And
yeah.
I remember when I watched this live that I was like, boy, this Taka guy's fucking stole the show. It was fucking way better than the great.
Yeah, he had a weird look, didn't he? I mean, no, not a weird look. Just this Suzuki had no look. It was
I mean, he looked like a fucking ninja. He had a fucking mask on and he was wearing pajamas. That was it.
Yeah, but a little ninja as well, like a tiny little ninja.
Yeah, I don't know. I never understood the great deal about him that everybody was jerked off to. Oh my God, look who's coming. I'm like, who the fuck is this? I don't watch that Japan bullshit. But I thought Taka was fucking fantastic. So, of course, Sasuke wins this. And I gave it $80.
Oh, you liked it a lot.
I thought it was. I thought Taco was fantastic. That's why I was like, "Holy shit!" It was shit we never saw before. He was diving over the fucking top rope and shit on flying. You know, that shit was rare. Now it's common, but now you got Ricochet doing a flip off the top, landing on his feet and going up the ramp.
Yeah, I didn't like the commentary on it. It's like JR was trying to do one thing and Vince was playing the dumb guy. Now, reiterate that, I don't think he was playing the dumb guy. I just think he was dumb. So what you could tell that this was like a JR project and Vince like was just kind of sitting there.
What a maneuver.
Taking it in, yeah. I agree with the Tucker stuff as well, but I don't think that Suzuki was everything he was hyped up to be. I think it picked up at the end. Yeah, I got it at 75, but I mean, it should have potentially been higher because they talk about this in terms of being part of this appeal of this pay-per-view, and they say every match was great and the crowd loved every match. And
you know, I wrote that for not happened. Knowing who the fuck they were, the crowd got into it because the crowd doesn't know who the fuck they are. Mm. You know, and they were cheering for it during this and like throughout it. Triple H and Mankind are still fighting in the crowd. They continue on.
You know, actually, I'll tell you what, you just said something. I'm going to add $10 to the match now because I've stayed because of my son gets roped into the announcements for the dark match on SmackDown. And the dark match is always like two main event guys.
Yeah.
Normally a WWE title match or something on the dark match.
Yeah.
And they make you watch 205 Live to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched too many episodes of 205 Live and haven't seen the crowd get into like decent matches. And maybe that's just a sign of the times. But
yeah,
these people did get into it. So it's difficult to get into things where you don't know who anyone else is. Or if you're waiting for something else. Which is the case for both of those statements are true for this match. So yeah, I've put it up a little bit.
So the next match is going to be for the title, and it's Vader versus Undertaker, and it was supposed to be Ahmed Johnson, but Ahmed Johnson got hurt. So Vader gets the place, and before the match, you have an interview with Vader.
Thank you, Vince. Paul Bearer, last week on Raw, you stooped to an all-time low level, even for you, by accusing The Undertaker of murdering his family. I mean, how can you even look in the mirror at yourself?
Doc Hendricks, looking in the mirror is the best thing that I do every morning, if you know what I mean. And Undertaker, I don't know how you can look in the mirror, knowing that you're a murderer, that you killed your entire family. And Undertaker is going to be deja vu tonight when Vader whips you just like he did at the Royal Rumble, and the whole world's gonna watch, oh yes, as you go down and as the gold is put over the shoulder of Vader. Let's see what they done at the Royal Rumble. Oh yes.
So Paul Bearer is, of course, the whole storyline is that he's accusing Undertaker of killing his family, and like I said, I think this is a fantastic story because they dragged this thing out for fucking months, which that wouldn't happen nowadays because, God forbid, you held on to Money in the Bank until the new television show started for SmackDown and did it on that show for a debut. You have to cash it in quickly and be done.
What are you talking about? Sorry.
moving on, Vader versus Undertaker. Taker wins, of course. And I actually gave it, I first gave it 30, and then I gave it 40, and I added because of the tombstone. I first gave it 30 because it was just a fill-in match, and I didn't care. The tombstone, I gave an extra $10, because that's a load to get up.
Because of the tombstone, you've given it $10?
I gave it an extra $10, so oh, right. I had 40.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is weird because, like, there were different points in this match where it was actually clicking better than if you watch the stuff how Shawn struggled with him. Undertaker didn't, and I don't know whether that's because they went through that shit in Q8 or whatever before. But then it just sort of, the finish was just abrupt, which I know there was a tombstone with it. And I think there was, before that, there was just a choke slam that he kicked out of, right? If I'm remembering
things
correctly. And then it was like, okay, he didn't get him with a choke slam. So now he's going to get him with a tombstone. Maybe because now we're used to like, oh, Vader's going to hit with a Vader bomb. Oh, he missed. Oh, there's a choke slam. Oh, he kicked out. Oh, he's going for the tombstone. Oh, he's backdropped him. And now he's sat on his head. And now he's going for a Vader bomb. And oh, he missed it. Oh, now it's the tombstone. You know how it's all that. You know, one, two, one, two. He didn't have that. It had like, he kicked out of a choke slam, but he didn't kick out of a tombstone. And they had back and forth in the match. And I think during the title match, obviously, you can probably get away with a bit more of that. But I don't know, maybe they're protecting finishes. I mean, if he's not going to win with a Vader bomb, maybe he's saying, maybe something's weird, because I think some guys say this kind of shit. Now that I'm going back and listen to all these fucking these kayfabe interviews, these non-kayfabe interviews, where Sid says, I left WWE in 1992 because Warrior kicked out the powerbomb on a house show.
God.
Right? It's like you quit your job because a guy kicked out of your fake move in a fake fight. So you left work. And he said to me, if the officials go, if I have to do that finish again tomorrow, then I'm not going to be working here anymore. So Jim Helwick was like, yeah, like that's what we're doing. And he goes, Jim's saying we're doing this. And he goes, you are doing that. And he goes, all right. And this is my last night. And he didn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe these guys are weird like that, where it was like Undertaker was like, okay, so you hit the Vader bomb, I'll kick out. And he was like, no, you're not kicking out, I'm gonna finish. So that in turn makes the match less memorable. But anyway, it's weird that these guys, I don't think it's, obviously the business is not like that anymore, but I just remember that story and it reminded me in relation to this. But yeah, I had it at a flat 50 again. I thought it was better than the Triple H and Mick Foley match because it had a finish, but then they had all that extra stuff that padded theirs out. So
what doesn't do it for me is that it's a fill-in match, so you know there's no threat of, oh, he might win the title. It, when it's very obvious, that kills it for me.
Yeah.
So here, check out this next promo because I find it odd. I'll talk about it when we come back.
Gentlemen, give you some history leading up to this extraordinary 10-man tag team melee that you're going to see right here very, very shortly.
Recent events surrounding the squared circle have made chaos and mayhem commonplace.
We ride together! And guess what else we do, McMahon? We damn sure fight together!
Full-fledged brawls are breaking out everywhere.
A new nation!
But all of these altercations and clashes in the WWF seemingly pale in comparison to the feud between Stone Cold Steve Austin and the Hart Foundation.
Wait a minute! Oh no, my God!
And although Austin has certainly held his own, the tag team he will captain in Calgary to take on the Hart Foundation will even the odds and fuel the fury.
To cheer on their scum heroes like Goldust, Legion of Doom, Ken Shamrock, Stone Cold Steve Austin. But when they come across that border, it's gonna be a whole different story. We are just gonna go in there and pound these guys in the dirt, just like they deserve.
10 men. One brawl. The countdown to chaos in Calgary is complete. The moment of mayhem has arrived.
Unbelievable! No! Look what they're doing to Mankind! Look what they're doing to Stone Cold!
Gentlemen, here we are, moments away from perhaps stepping right into the lion's den. And whether it's true or not, a lot of people feel that your team could perhaps be the underdogs tonight.
Well, you remember, I put this thing together. I was the peacemaker. And they want to play Clint Eastwood? Well, you're looking at the best five that can do it tonight, and we're going to.
I've been in unfriendly territories before, and I've been in with unfamiliar and untamable fighters before. But when I enter my zone, it's time to get it on.
You know something, Doc? Bret Hart can go out there and try to BS all these people all he wants. This ain't got nothing to do with the U.S. or Canada. This has got to do with the survival of the fittest. And we're going to find out tonight if you got what it takes to be the strong one in this match. Tell him, Hawk.
I got one thing to say. What a rush.
Stone Cold. Stone. All right, guys, here we go. Back to you at ringside.
So I find it odd that I at first thought they messed up this promo and that they put the wrong package in, because it starts in with the Nation of Domination and the DOA and Savio's team, the Barriquas and everything. And I was like, the fuck does this have to do with anything in the fucking main event here? And I thought it was for like Taker and Ahmed almost, and they fucked up. But it gets into factions, and I guess that's the main thing, because then it goes into, you know, the Hart Foundation.
Yeah, and so why are you saying that? I'm remembering Bruce and Conrad doing the show, and I think that was asked to him as well. I don't know if you remember. And it was said that Pritchard went, gangs. Vince was like, Vince said to Bridges, gangs, we got to do gangs, gangs that are in. That's how that's why we're losing, because they're doing stuff with gangs. He generally thought like people were just into like this fucking, and also like the way East Coast, West Coast stuff was going on at this time, you know, if not the year before. I think this is the year Tupac died.
96 is when I believe Tupac died.
Sorry, this is the year Biggie died. And this is the year before was the year Tupac died. So Tupac died in September. And I think Biggie died in March, maybe 97. Is that right? I don't know.
I don't know when Biggie was, yeah.
But it's this time. So I think Vince, at least being slightly in touch, but being wrong also about why we what we were into, saying, oh, we got to do gangs, we got to do gangs. So as opposed to like building it around a story of, these are the main event guys against the main event guys. Like, I think they tried to embed it into, we've got loads of gangs and these are the top gangs. And it was just, and then I believe way before it actually happened, that Survivor Series was called Survivor Series Gang Rules, because this is the time where everything had like a little subheading. And by the time we got to Gang Rules, it was just Shawn and Bret. And like, there was a few of those like gang matches, but they kind of got away from it. But I think they felt like this was going to be a massive thing, a massive direction that they were going in. But I think that his ego was just like, oh, it's the NWO is just like, it just works because they're a gang who copied the East Coast, West Coast rap stuff. And it's like, nah, it's not at all. I mean, Kevin Nash talks about it a little bit, where he says like, oh, we were cooler. We were like hip hop music and stuff at the time, but I don't know. I don't see that necessarily.
So here, this main event, I write like the crowd is hot to the touch and the fucking camera's shaking, like we talked about. I even wrote like, "Oh my god" on the fucking paper, because it was intense to fucking see the crowd noise and everything like that. And how fucking, I even wrote a note, and I wrote Bruce has to try to get involved. Fuck off, jobber. He has to fucking be busy. He has to try to fucking insert himself. Nobody's fucking looking for you, Bruce. Nobody's fucking looking for you. You're the fucking loser of the fucking group. Sit the fuck down. Nobody gives a shit. But he has to fucking, he's reaching at Austin and fucking throwing drinks or something. It's like, fuck off. Go sit the fuck down.
Yeah, I think, is Bruce the guy that came up with a story about,
it was supposed to be him and not Owen.
Yeah.
And Brett goes, nah. And then the fucking, so it's been like
they're not friends since then, because he's like, it could have been fucking Bruce the whole fucking time.
But he still comes to the pay-per-view. They can get paid $5,000, and they'll still come.
Yeah, so I mean, they all gotta, you know, get in the ring afterwards, because it's Owen gets the pin on Austin, and Austin still comes back afterwards when the fucking ring full of fucking people, and gets handcuffed and is flipping everyone off with the handcuffs on. Fucking fantastic. You know, classic fucking Austin. So everybody gets in the ring, they all celebrate afterwards, and this is the picture that you get of Owen with Oj in the ring when he's holding his kid. That's the picture you always see.
Yeah.
Where he's wearing a little Dutch boy outfit.
What do you think in a match? Like, they built, you know, it's kind of, it's another thing from Wrestling Shadows where they're talking it through, and they say, first of all, everyone's going to get in and get their moment, and it's going to be hot at the start. Then we're going to have to cool it down, because you can't work 30 minutes like at that pace. And yeah, they pretty much did it, everything as it was laid out. I mean, the finish is there and everything. But
yeah, I thought it was done well, because it was, I mean, the difference is that, you know, it's the Bizarro world. That's the best part, is that it's completely, you know, so odd that they're hated in one country and loved in the other. And it's like they go back and forth between countries, and they're the good guys in one side. It's fucking really good. Everybody has to
take time to watch this and watch the entrances of the Canadian team.
Oh, God.
Yeah. One by one.
One by one, shaking the fucking place. Fantastic.
From Pillman, like, to the start, like from the very beginning.
Yeah, he gets the crowd going. And that's what's funny, because he's the only, like, American. So he's kind of got, it's like, how do you say fuck that side, you know? So,
well, I mean, later on down the line in the promos he talks about, he does say how he doesn't.
What'd he say?
That's, he basically alludes to the fact that he doesn't like living there. And when Brett's talking about America, he turned around and said, yeah, I got to live here, and all that kind of shit. So he kind of does the turncoat thing. Mm-hmm. And also, like, they get away from the whole the Hart Foundation and Brian Pillman. Did you notice that? I don't know why they were doing that. It's like it was like some big kind of commitment that he was going to actually be in the Hart Foundation. That for a few months, they were like, the Hart Foundation and Brian Pillman. I think even at one point, someone had to go out of their way to say, well, Pillman's not an official member and all this kind of shit.
Maybe it's because he's not, like, married into the family and all the rest are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but by the time Anvil gets himself fired just before SummerSlam, he is then. Because he's got one of those stipulations at SummerSlam when all those guys make those stipulations. The stipulation,
which is nonsense that Anvil doesn't go through with.
Because he's not there.
Is he gone by then? Because he said, but that pay-per-view, he says his stipulation. And isn't he there the next time, though?
No, he goes away for a bit, then he gets hired again. Like something, he gets,
because we know he's there for when Brett gets fucked.
Yeah, because he's in a limo wrestling with Shadows. Yeah, he comes back for he comes back, and then he's out for like a few. You'll see it when we get to SummerSlam. Get to the SummerSlam Rules, you'll see where he's not there for some reason.
Jesus. All right, well, that is your Canadian Stampede.
We got to rate this.
Yes, the last match I gave 200.
You know what? So I told you about this already. So I'm going to just tell everyone else what I'm doing. So I gave this 450. And I'll tell you why. Because 450 is the face value of the pay-per-view, right?
Mm-hmm.
So on the premise that you buy a ticket, and this is the only thing you see,
mm-hmm,
and then you go home, are you not happy with, do you not feel that you saw one of the most like historical like matches ever?
Yeah, it could have been, you know, one match, you'd have been fine.
Yeah, so that's why I got it, because we're talking about this in, what year is it? 2019, which is 22 years later. I'm pretty sure it's got another 10, 15 years at least to run.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just, it's primarily about the additions of, okay, so what value do you put on that finish at the end? And what value do you put on Austin's with a handcuff? What value do you put on the crowd through the whole match? And what value do you put down on the ring entrances? And what value do you put down on the dynamic of the entire thing, which is the heels are faces and the faces are heels.
Mm-hmm.
It's just well worth turning around and saying that this match is the entire show.
Yeah.
And in every, and then the bonuses on the show accumulate to just under $200.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that that's fair, that those three, that those three matches are worth just under 200. So I think that I came out with the right rating in the end.
Hmm. All right.
What did you say? 200, sorry.
I said 200, so my total is 360.
Okay, so at 360, you have this only coming out as a C-plus pay-per-view.
Hmm. I mean, it is that match. I mean, the rest, and if you do look at the rest of my money, it's like, I mean, I don't give a shit about the Taker, Vader. I don't give a shit about, you know, Sasaki and Taka, because you didn't know who the fuck they were. The count
out. At 635, I have it. I got it at 635, which gives it an A-, which I feel is... We're way off on the C-plus and A-.
Yeah.
A-.
And you know what? It should be a fucking A. I think it's even underscored for yourself.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
it's one match. That's pretty much what this whole thing is one match. Maybe that's why, in retrospect, it's like, yeah, that match is great. The entire pay-per-view is not the fucking greatest, but that match is the fucking best.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised you went so low on it, though. That's the thing. Because I think in regards to other things that you've done, and I always bring you back to this, because you had Kofi and Bryan at WrestleMania as like a 250 or a 200.
Yeah.
I can't remember it. And it's like, how can it be the same? Because I already forgot that match.
I put that obviously with history, and it's a fucking, it was a great match for one-on-one. I mean, this match
okay, I
is
mean,
the
I,
crowd.
I haven't already forgot the match. It's probably an exaggeration,
sure.
But I don't think that I'll remember it in the year 2021.
Well, here's the thing. I couldn't tell you one thing that happened in the Kofi match other than Kofi winning, but at the same time, I couldn't tell you anything that happened in this main event other than the crowd shaking the fucking camera. And so it was the crowd. It's not even the fucking match. It was just the intensity of the fucking crowd.
I actually pointed out a number of things that you will remember, which is, okay, so A is the dynamic. These are the good guys here,
mm-hmm.
and they're the bad guys there, right? So that's the dynamic, number one. The entrances are two. The finish is three, which you remember. Austin with the handcuffs is four. That's four things I'm certain that you know.
Sure.
So,
yeah, you're right, because then with the Kofi thing, he won with fucking Trouble in Paradise. I think I remember that. And
yeah, and then it's up to you how you think about those t-shirts coming out and Biggie like when Xavier was like crying.
Yeah, them all crying.
The belt.
Yeah,
and he sends his kid to a turn. He sends his kid up to the turnbuckle.
It was more of a spectacle than a fucking match too. Even though their match is fucking probably better than this match.
Yeah,
but it's the spectacle,
I mean,
and the history.
This system intentionally allows you to add that in order to come out with the right mark for the pay-per-view as
mm-hmm.
general, as opposed to going by the match-by-match criteria, which Meltzer has created, which
yeah.
I don't agree with. So,
all right. Well, we will be back with back to the Monday Night Wars for what happened following this the very next night. I've been Kev. He's been Billy. We're out of time.